Hello and welcome to StarK's web conference and teleconference. This is a monthly conference brought to you on the last Wednesday of every month at noon Eastern Standard Time. My name is Rabbi Tzvi Goldberg, and on my right is Rabbi Elio Schumann, StarK's Director of Supervision. And on my left is Rabbi Baruch Beyer, a Kashrus Administrator here at StarK.
Hello.
And this conference is available on dimdim.com. The password is kosher, or you can dial in. For some reason you have trouble with your computer, it's 218-895-1203. Passcode is 2020 pound. I'm a little bit under the weather, but as I told someone yesterday, it's better to be under the weather now in Baltimore than in New York. So, Baruch Hashem, we're going to make it through. Today's discussion is going to focus on chocolate and power of chocolate, dairy chocolate. At the end, I don't want to forget to discuss an issue that is really relevant for people who are stuck in airports for days, and what I wanted, if we could discuss a little bit, what can they do, what can they eat, what can they find if they're stuck in a New York area airport, what can they find to eat from a kosher perspective. Okay, so Rabbi Schumann, we're really going to focus on your recent trip for a company that we have that's StarK certified, called Ciranda, C-I-R-A-N-D-A, which is a wholesale supplier of organic foods. They import from around the world. And you went to a company for them in order to look at a power of a chocolate production. So tell us a little bit about the reason for the trip and what's special or different about power of chocolate.
Okay, most chocolate manufacturers manufacture both power of chocolate and dairy chocolate. So even if they're certified, the question begs itself about the power of a chocolate, which is made on the same equipment as the milk chocolate, and it does sometimes go through what the certifying agency considers a kosherizing process. So you have most power of a chocolate on the market. Probably was made in such a plant where there was a kosherizing process, and the chocolate that they make without the milk derivatives is in fact parv and certified as parv.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
I'm sorry. Could you maybe walk us through the process so we can know where the issues are as far as parv and not parv? I mean, a lot of people. In my limited understanding of chocolate doesn't get very hot.
it does in the country when they conch the chocolate is the term used for the.
So where does it start? So they take take the chocolate, the cocoa bean. Is that where it comes from? That little bean that they.
Right. Well, if you want, let's start
from Bereishis
at the beginning.
Right.
Bereishis Bara Elokim.
Bereishis Bara Elokim.
Okay.
The Rabbanu Shalom created many. Right, he created many trees. Amongst the trees the Rabbanu Shalom created was the cocoa bean tree. That the cocoa bean itself looks like an almond. It's an almond shaped bean which grows on trees, when the almond shaped beans are brought into the factory. Most factories don't start from the cocoa bean; they start from the chocolate liqueur. But the plant I visited in South America was, in fact, they start from the beginning. They bring in the cocoa beans, which are grown in South America.
Is that the only place in the world that grows?
No, not at all. No? Not at all.
It grows in the Florida?
It does. I don't believe it grows in Florida.
New York?
No. Rather, well,
in Flatbush.
In Flatbush, yeah. I don't know if people grow on. The cocoa bean is brought into the plant, then it is milled and cracked.
First
it's roasted, correct. First it's roasted, and then milled and cracked. And when the shell is removed, the inside of the shell is referred to as a cocoa nib.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this nib is then further crushed and made into what, through the crushing and the milling process in several machines, is made into its final product. It's called cocoa liqueur.
Liquor.
So it's a liquor.
Chocolate liquor. I'm sorry, not cocoa. Chocolate liquor. It's called chocolate liqueur.
As opposed to
chocolate liqueur. Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
No alcohol in this.
No alcohol in this
liquor.
In this liquor. No. It's called chocolate liquor, but and the content of the chocolate liquor is basically the chocolate and the cocoa butter. The cocoa butter is. This chocolate liquor is then further processed by it is crushed, and the chocolate liquor and the cocoa butter are separated.
They crush the liquid?
Well, it solidifies. It becomes solid.
Uh-huh.
And it's crushed, and what you have, then you have your. You crush the nibs.
Right.
You crush the nibs into which comes chocolate liqueur, which in turn, it's not a liquidy process.
It's not liquidy.
Not liquidy.
Uh-huh.
It'll become hardened,
okay.
And then they crush it further. Where they're not actually crushed. It's put in a pressing machine.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's a pressing machine, not a crushing machine. It presses it, and you have your chocolate liqueur and your cocoa butter. Separated.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And from this point on, depending on, you have two types of chocolate. You have pure chocolate, or you have the what you call compound chocolate. Pure chocolate, well, they'll put the part of the cocoa butter back into the chocolate liqueur and blend it and refine it and mix it in the conch.
So a conch is basically like a mixing tank.
Mixing tank that mixes and also blends and refines.
Okay.
Okay. The product further, because at this point before the conch, it has a grainy texture to it.
What is it? Is it a powder? Is it kind of like a mush, like peanut butter?
When it comes out, it's actually cakes. The end. Then you have your it's. So this cake is then further processed into chocolate, or it's taken and ground into cocoa.
Oh.
Into cocoa, ground into
cocoa powder.
Cocoa powder,
like
correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right, so in the conching, you would say that's where there's the first time that we have some heat involved, right?
That's not totally correct, because in the grinding process,
is also heat.
It's also heat, and sometimes it gets the heat above yet, so that's
well, let's step back a second. So if they were going to make milk chocolate, at what point would they add the milk?
They would probably add it in the crunching process.
In the crunching. So that's where
everything is blended.
So that's where we have our first issue.
Above 120.
That's right.
He's asking, Mordechai is asking, do the machines reach 45 degrees? I guess that's Celsius. How hot is 45 degrees?
45 degrees is depending how you define yatzonet, it's we define yatzonet lettuce as anything is 120 degrees Fahrenheit or above, which in Celsius is around 48.5 degrees Celsius.
So yatzonet lettuce is a temperature where we assume that there's transfer of taste from the product into the utensil
equipment.
And back into the machine and back into
that
the food.
Right.
So that's
right.
Where, so in this conch, which is like a circular. It rolls round and round, right?
Right. It's a huge tank.
Right.
Yeah.
So it rolls.
Yeah.
And so that's where you have heat and you have an absorption of the milk.
That,
if there's milk.
If there's milk, there's milk.
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And okay, so let's talk about when they want to make.
But hold on, yeah. And then it goes from the conch, and then what happens after that?
Well, it depends. Then if it's blending the cocoa butter back in, mm-hmm. then it has to be tempered.
Okay.
Tempered is a series of lowering and raising the temperature of the chocolate to give it its fine glass and this tempering is usually kept to below. Here's where it's kept below Yatzeled temperatures. Yeah.
Okay. So again, the conching. Then really, the conching is the
area where
we have the issue.
That's where we have the issue usually. Yeah.
So if it was produced dairy, right, and then you want to produce it parv, the next run you want to make without any dairy, parv chocolate because you want to have sweet chocolate.
That
or whatever.
Is correct. That is correct.
So what is normally done to kosherize that conch or those lines?
All right. So
the biggest from milk.
Right. Well, the problem is that the chocolate manufacturers do not want to introduce water into the conch because it will affect the product itself. So those who kosher will kosher usually with chocolate, with liquid chocolate.
I understand it solidifies the chocolate. Is that right? If you have any water in there?
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't just add water and then dry it out? There wouldn't be any way to dry it?
They're afraid. You can.
They're afraid it might still be a little bit of moisture.
That's right.
I just want to mention, if anybody wants to ask a question, they can chat with us on Dimdim. We have a couple of questions already, but you can chat with us and we'll get to it in a minute. Mordechai says, in my experience of chocolate producing, it reached the maximum 43 degrees. So I guess that's Celsius.
So that's less than
Celsius. Well, in my experience, in the country, at least for instance, in the plant which I was at, it was definitely above. Yeah, so that is the conching.
Right.
I did visit two plants. One plant where they do both parv and dairy chocolate, and the second plant, which is the one we're actually going to certify for Saranda, it's a totally parv plant, which is in itself a very rare thing.
It's a novelty to have, and
in that plant. Also, the conching itself does go above temperatures of Yad Soled.
But if you could actually verify that it never gets to that 120 degrees, then all you would have to do would be clean out the line of the dairy.
That is correct.
That's not. That wouldn't be so.
That
so
is correct.
It's a close shave, though, from 43 to 45. We're not talking. Not a lot of wiggle room.
No.
Yeah.
For mistakes.
No. Okay. So they normally they will kosherize with chocolate itself. So they clean out the machinery.
Mm-hmm.
How do they clean it?
It's just, I think, drained and blown. I haven't
drained and blown out.
I would think so. I haven't seen.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You can wipe it down.
Wipe it down. Okay. Because they can't use water. That's
right.
No problem.
Can't use water.
Okay.
Down, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they spray chocolate on it to clean it.
Yeah.
So then they will kosherize with hot chocolate. Not hot chocolate, but hot chocolate.
Correct, that is correct.
Not the hot chocolate you buy in the store, but chocolate that's hot. Okay, now tell us what the problem with that is, what the issue is, Rabbi Shimon.
The issue there is, first of all, anything other than water, if you kosherize with an oil, or in this case, liquid chocolate, it's referred to in halacha as mei peiros. And this in itself is a question whether one can or whether one should kosher with mei peiros and halacha
like fruit juice.
Exactly.
Liquids other than water, right?
Yeah. Plus, which there is one opinion that feels that chocolate since in ambient temperatures is not liquid, then that's not even considered a liquid, the chocolate.
Because in a room temperature, it's solidified.
That's right. That's
so
right.
it's not actually
right.
a liquid.
That's a difference.
There's some that hold like that.
That's right.
Right. So they kosherize with this chocolate as opposed to using water.
So do they have something to rely on? I mean, there are poskim who say they can do that, correct?
Kashmir, well, the Shulchan said b'shas adchak. It's a Russian mishnah. You have no other
There's no other choice.
No other choice that you can do that. Right. So for the discerning consumer, for the discerning Orthodox kosher consumer, they would probably want to be a bit more careful.
Given the choice of having chocolate that is considered dairy and chocolate which is considered parv, it's not considered, I would think, according to some opinions, that's not considered shasat chak.
For some people, I think not having the right chocolate would be shasat chak.
Okay.
So the question is, how can the consumer know whether or not his chocolate was kashered, you know, or with chocolate or made with on a separate line? I mean, can he call the agency?
He can call the agency.
Do we give a hechsher to the Star K?
The Star K would not the policy certify as parv chocolate made
on a line
that does also their chocolate. Yeah.
Okay, so other agencies, they'd have to call the agency.
They have to check the agency
and find out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
As far as we can tell, though, I think this might be one of the only factories in the country, in the world, that makes a straight par of chocolate.
There seem to be a couple of plants that have.
But the majority of the chocolate out there that's kosher,
that's right.
Is made in plants that also produce dairy.
That is correct.
Right.
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 Yeah.
So okay.
Look
so
the Star K if you want to.
Okay. So that's the issue. It was interesting when you went down to this South American country, Rabbi Schumann, that it was quite a bit of a travel for you. It was like a whole day. It was like going to Eretz Yisrael.
Right. Well, all I could say is also, thank God I went 2 weeks last week, and not this week.
Right, you'd be stuck.
My flight originated in Dulles Airport, but I flew north to go south, and I flew to Newark and picked up the plane, the direct flight to the South American company from Newark Airport. So if I would have had a fly this week, I'd still be in Newark Airport.
If Mordechai is saying that in Europe there are parv only plants. There are plants
There might be a few.
There are a couple, so we do know that. There are some other issues with chocolate and relating to the bracha on chocolate, actually.
Yes.
And we do have. I want to point your attention to an article we have written by Rabbi Tzvi Rosen, another administrator here at the Star K.
Editor
of Kashrus Currents. He wrote an article for our Kashrus Currents publication that's available online at star-k.org under the Kashrus Currents archives, and it is entitled The Sweetest Fruit of All. The Sweetest Fruit of Them All. Rabbi Bayer says we have an important question. Goldenberg peanut chews are DE. Can they be eaten by those who wish to only eat Chol Yisrael? Also, can they be eaten after but not with a Fleishik meal? I believe that the official policy, we checked with the OU,
That certifies
Goldenberg's, and I think that they are not saying that it's only DE. They are saying there may be traces of milk in it. I think their official policy now is not to accept it for those who only wish to eat Chol Yisrael and not to eat them after Fleishik meal. I think that's the OU's official policy. You can double check, but we would follow their policy, whatever it might be. We wouldn't say anything different than OU.
Maybe b'shas adchak.
Maybe.